RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener. Welcome back to our English program of Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus and Use in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That's our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo welcomed President Rodrigo Duterte in Jakarta Friday afternoon. Indonesia developed a digital platform to support small and medium enterprises. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo welcomes the newly elected Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday afternoon for his first state visit to Jakarta. The State Palace holds a welcome ceremony for President Duterte at around 4 p.m., followed by a bilateral meeting between the two presidents and issuing a joint of press statement. This was announced by the Presidential Press Bureau on Friday. President Duterte's visit to Indonesia has been highly anticipated by both parties. Jakarta has been aggressively lobbying Manila for the release of 9 remaining Indonesian sailors held captive by the notorious Filipino group Abu Sayyaf, as well as talks on a joint maritime security operation in the region in the wake of the hijacking observer vessels. Furthermore, Philippine citizens have high hopes that President Duterte will directly appeal to President Joko Widodo to spare the life of Filipino death row inmate Mary Jane Peloso, who is detained in Indonesia for drug trafficking. The government's proposed relaxation of an impending export ban of unprocessed mineral ore will raise risks and discourage miners from constructing smelter as requirements. Interior Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan has recently proposed that several commodities be allowed an export extension for 3 to 5 years, depending on each company's smelter development progress and commodity prices. Minister Luhut, who is also the Coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister, suggested that the ban relaxation is inserted into the upcoming revision of the 2009 Mining Law, which has been included in this year's National Legislation Program or Prolegnas. However, Report Miner Institute researcher Komaidi Notonugroho said that only mining companies would reap the benefits of such an extension, as they would most likely focus on exporting instead of meeting domestic demand. Small mining companies would enjoy the benefit of the relaxed ban as well, but only in short term, because large companies will still have the final say on commodity prices, thanks to later fast supplies of mineral ore that dominate the market. Indonesian government encouraged the development of young business people to use media technology. Tourism Minister Arief Yahya said in Batam on Tuesday that Indonesian government this year will develop a digital medium that will allow young business people to develop their businesses. He also said that the digital medium is called the Travel Exchange Indonesia. Mr. Arief Yahya also explained that Indonesian Travel Exchange will connect potential customers via online travel agents and conventional travel agents to obtain services and tourism products such as flight tickets, hotel and tour packages. With this said, Minister Arief Yahya views that the Indonesian government is trying to digitize the conventional travel agents, which are widely managed by young entrepreneurs. This is aimed at encouraging young entrepreneurs to be able to compete in the digital era. In 2016, the ease of doing business ranking in Indonesia is 109th among 189 countries. In comparison, Indonesia is far below compared with other ASEAN countries such as Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines. President Joko Widodo has targeted that the ease of doing business ranking in Indonesia can rise from 109th rank to 40th in 2019. Secretary of the Advisory Council of Indonesian Employer Association of Indo, Chris Kantor, said Indonesia is rising at 11 ratings over the previous year. Chris Kantor is optimistic that the Indonesian government's target, including in the top 40 ranking of ease doing business, can be reached. He also said that to create the ease of doing business requires commitment from all parties, and the government has shown a very strong commitment.
Kan presiden maunya sebelum 2019.
The president wants before 2019 the rank of ease doing business is already in the 40th position. I'm sure we can achieve, but it requires a political commitment made by the president to amend totally. The president's commitment is quite clear. Now is how to exercise the power and where should be exercised. Chris Kantor further explained that the service sector plays a major role in improving the ease of business, especially in the IT sector and transport logistics. Therefore, the government needs to prioritize the development of service sector, especially in simplifying regulation, building per competitiveness and competitive transport logistics. The government should also review the regulation of all service sectors to be set into the deregulation package. Chris Kantor also views that the government needs to intensify the involvement of the private sector in the formulation and to review any deregulation. He added that the process of accelerating infrastructure development in Indonesia in 2015-2019 may also affect the achievement of the top 40 ranking business convenience. Tourism Minister Arief Yahya invited foreign investors to invest in Indonesia in the tourism sector. After officially opening the Peta Travel Mart 2016 in Banten on Tuesday, Minister Arief said that Indonesian government is currently targeting the development of 10 national destinations in the country to be featured in addition to traveling to Bali, Rio, and Jakarta. He also said that Indonesian government will provide easy access for foreign investors to invest in Indonesia.
So we are offering to all the parties to invest in Indonesia. We need around $10 billion in investing, what we call creating 10 new Bali. And we are going to give you an easy access to invest in Indonesia with one-stop service policy by BKPM, Indonesia Investing Coordinating Board.
Furthermore, Minister Arief Yahya said that Indonesia has more than 200 tourism potentials across Indonesia, which are not yet developed. But a few years ahead, he targets the development of 10 tourist destinations to be equally popular with Bali, Rio, and Jakarta. The 10 tourism potentials are Lake Toba, Tanjung Klayar, Tanjung Lesung, Thousand Islands, Borobudur Temple, Mount Bromo, Mandalika, Komodo Island, Wakatobi, and Morotai. The Indonesian Consulate General in Kuching and the Indonesian Tourism Ministry held a preparatory meeting on the Fitch Wonderful Indonesian Festival in the Indonesian Consulate General in Kuching, Malaysia on Thursday. The Indonesian Consulate General in Kuching, Jahar Gultan, invited the Malaysian police, immigration and local community leaders to inform people and also ask for help for the implementation of the event. Jahar also explained the event will be held on September 17 and 18 at the Sanyingan Sambar Regency West Kalimantan with a target of more than 1,000 visitors from Malaysia.
Untuk yang di Sanyingan besar ini pada tanggal 18 ini 17-18 kita targetkan paling tidak bisa angka 1000 lebih lah.
For the event in Sanyingan on September 17 and 18 we have a target at least 1000 people from Malaysia. So there will be a parade of about 200 beat motorcycle competition, diet dance, Malay dance and others. We will also promote that Sanyingan has a waterfall where they have built facility for hiking and trekking. We do this to attract people from Sarawak to visit Indonesia. For the event in Sanyingan on September 17 and 18, we have targeted at least 1,000 visitors from Malaysia. So there will be a parade of about 200-bit motorcycles, competitions, Dayak dance, Malay dance, and others. We will also promote that Sanyingan has a water pool where they have built facilities for hiking and trekking. We do this to attract visitors from Sarawak to visit Indonesia. Tutup. Jahar further explained that in the wonderful Indonesia festival, beside various races and art exhibitions, Tourism Ministry will expose the beauty of waterfall in Sanyingan as one of many ways to explore Indonesia. Meanwhile, to facilitate the access of visitors to the site, the ministry will also provide a free shuttle bus as a means of transportation from the border to the location of the festival. The last item, the awarding event of the Festival Film Indonesia FFI 2016 is ready to be held again this year. It carries out the theme Unity in Diversity, which is seen in everything including in categories and nominees of the award. Head of the FFI 2016 committee, Lukman Sardi, told Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday that diversity brings more power and richness in the event. In addition, this year's festival Film Indonesia highlights two issues, namely film restoration and censor. FFI 2016 has 21 categories, namely 4 non-cinema film categories and 17 cinema film categories. Head of the judging division, Olga Lidi, expressed hope that FFI could develop the Indonesian film industry, particularly through non-bioscope or non-cinema film categories. Festival Film Indonesia FFI was first held in 1955. Since 1966, Piala Citra Trophy has been given to the winners. This year, the highest awarding event for Indonesian filmmakers and actors will take place on November 6 at Taman Ismail Marzuki Cultural Center in Jakarta. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled ASEAN Summit and the Settlement of South China Sea Dispute. The 28th Summit of ASEAN in Vientiane, Laos ended yesterday with a full statement of prudence regarding the settlement of South China Sea Dispute. The presence of China's leader at the ASEAN meeting with dialogue partners that was held after the ASEAN Summit at least has brought about impact on the final declaration of the summit, which specifically touched on the South China Sea dispute. As we have noted, the dispute of South China Sea became a serious discussion in the summit. The statement of China's leader, who expressed disappointment over the verdict of the arbitral tribunal in the Den Haag some time ago, on which the Philippines won the dispute of some part of Spratly Islands, psychologically affected the outcome of the summit's declaration, which was formulated more carefully. Prime Minister of China Li Keqiang confirmed the importance of maintaining peace, stability, security and freedom of navigation as well as flight within the disputed South China Sea. Implicitly, Prime Minister Li demanded that the dispute settlement in the South China Sea region is not hampered by the intervention of outsiders. Reuters agency reported that in the draft, the verdict of the permanent court, which declared China's claim over Spratly Islands and tiny ones in the South China Sea region, does not mention illegal. The verdict issued in July 2016 was a serious blow to Beijing, which claims most of the China Sea region. U.S. President Barack Obama, during a meeting of ASEAN-United States, declared that Washington is aware of this tension and hopes that ASEAN can constructively move together to ease the tension. Early on Wednesday, sources of ASEAN reported that negotiations between the leaders of ASEAN and Prime Minister Li has taken place smoothly. The region of South China Sea produces more than $5 billion US dollars per year. This area is claimed by Taiwan and four other ASEAN members, namely Vietnam, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Brunei Darussalam. The question arises what further action is to settle the South China Sea dispute. Clearly, more concrete steps are still needed to resolve the case, especially between the Philippines and China, which was affected by the verdict issued in the Den Haag, the Netherlands. Indonesia, that is not involved directly in the dispute, may take part in initiating to resolve the issue. to meet with President of the Philippines, Rodrigo Duterte, who is now making a state visit to Indonesia, can be a good opportunity for Indonesian government to talk about the issue. Listener, that was commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. The Indonesian National Sport Day is commemorated on September 9th. The National Sport Day is celebrated annually on 9th of September because on the 9th of September was held the National Games or PON 1. It is the first Indonesian National Sports Week held in Surakarta from September 9 to 12, 1948. The first PON officially opened by the first President of the Republic of Indonesia, Sukarno, and closing events conducted by Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono IX as the Indonesian Olympic Committee Chairman. PON bring the mission to show the outside world that the Indonesian may still prove that it is able to hold a sport event with a national scale. In addition, PON also has a mission to build up the spirit of unity because sport is a universal language that always can unite everyone with a variety of backgrounds. The first National Sport Weeks was attended by around 600 athletes competing in 9 sports, namely athletics, disc throwing, badminton, football, tennis, swimming, martial art, archery, and basketball. On September 9, 1948, Kim Il-sung officially inaugurates the People's Republic of Democratic of Korea. On August 15, 1948, the Republic of Korea was formally established with Syngman Rhee as the first president. With the establishment of Rhee's government, the jure sovereignty also passed into the new government. On September 9, 1948, a communist regime, the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, or North Korea, was proclaimed under Kim Il-sung. However, on December 12, 1948, by its Resolution 195 in the Third General Assembly, the United Nations recognized the Republic of Korea as the sole legal government of Korea. In 1946, the North implemented land reforms by confiscating private property, Japanese and pro-Japanese owned facilities and factories, and placed them under state ownership. Demand for land reform in the South grew strong, and it was eventually enacted in June 1949. Koreans with large land holdings were obliged to divest most of their land. Approximately 40% of total farm household became small landowners. However, because preemptive rights were given to people who had ties with landowners before liberation, many pro-Japanese groups obtained or retained properties.
Thank you.
On September 9, 2004, car bomb explosive in front of Australian embassy in Jakarta. Bombing in front of Australian embassy in 2004, also called Kuningan bombing, occurred on September 9, 2004 in Jakarta. This is the third terrorism act directed to Australia that happened in Indonesia after the 2002 Bali bombings and the bombing of JW Marriott in 2003. The car bomb exploded in front of the Australian embassy at 10:30 West Indonesia time in Kuningan, Jakarta. The death toll, according to the Indonesian side, has identified 9 people, but the Australians called 11. No Australians who died in this incident. Some of the buildings around the scene were also damaged. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listeners, you again. I'm here, Mana Ratmana, in our regular program, Focus. The theme of today's focus is that implementing ASEAN Economic Community, 12,000 drivers from the Philippines will enter Indonesia. Minister of Education and Culture Muhajir Effendi said there will be 12,000 drivers who are internationally licensed from the Philippines to come to Indonesia. The drivers coming to Indonesia is the result of the implementation of ASEAN Economic Community, AEC. This was announced by Minister Effendi during the opening of Indonesian Cultural Week 2016 in the Hall of Malang Regency on last Friday. He said that of the 12,000 drivers, 40% are female drivers. In regard to this, the government of Indonesia will promote vocational education for Indonesian students. This is aimed at creating human resources as employees with reliable skills. Because Indonesia needs skillful employees to face the employment challenges in the future. Thus, Minister Effendi asks Indonesian people, especially students, to be oriented to excellent skill when entering senior high schools. As a result, after finishing from senior high schools, the student can find their jobs more easily. Minister Muhajir Effendi added that currently the government is promoting vocational education. The government hopes that students who are graduated from vocational high school, or locally called SMK, can instantly work, so they do not have to be forced to continue to college level. Meanwhile, East Java Governor Soekarwo also expressed the same statement. He views that Indonesia needs skillful workers. Therefore, a number of EAC member states are ready to enter Indonesia. In fact, there are some countries that teach Indonesian in their school and college. He said that in the Philippines, the college has been teaching Indonesian and those who have learned Indonesian are ready to enter Indonesia. Governor Soekarwo also said Indonesia still lacks of skillful workers, mainly related to the understanding of modern technologies. He cited that a number of health personnel are ultimately unable to compete because of limitation of understanding to operate the advanced medical technology. He also cited that some of Indonesian overseas nurses who work in the modern hospitals could not operate the appliance. In fact, in foreign countries, more nurses are needed. Take, for example, United States lacks of 2,500 nurses. Australia also needs around 150 nurses. Unfortunately, the request cannot be fulfilled because they should be able to operate the sophisticated equipment. Listener, that was Focus Today. Sari Berita. Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. President Joko Widodo welcomes the new elected Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte at the State Palace in Jakarta on Friday afternoon for his first state visit to Jakarta. The government's proposed relaxation of an impending export ban of unprocessed mineral oil will raise risks and discourage miners from constructing smelters as requirements. Indonesian government encourages the development of young business people to use media technology. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya said in Banten on Tuesday that the Indonesian government this year will develop a digital medium that will allow young business people to develop their businesses. In 2016, the ease of doing business ranking in Indonesia is 109th among 189 countries. In comparison, Indonesia is far below compared with other ASEAN countries such as Singapore, Malaysia, Thailand, and the Philippines. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya invited foreign investors to invest in Indonesia in the tourism sector. After officially opening the Peta Travel Mart 2016 in Banten on Tuesday, Minister Arif said that Indonesian government is currently targeting the development of 10 national destinations in the country to be featured in addition to traveling to Bali, Riau, and Jakarta. The Indonesian Consulate General in Kuching and the Indonesian Tourism Minister held a preparatory meeting on the Fitch Wonderful Indonesia Festival in the Indonesian Consulate General in Kuching, Malaysia on Tuesday. Indonesian Consul General in Kuching, Jahar Gultom, invited the Malaysian police, immigration and local community leaders to inform people and also ask for help for the implementation of the event. The awarding event of Festival Film Indonesia FFI 2016 is ready to be held again this year. It carries out the themed Unity in Diversity, which is seen in everything including in categories and nominees of the award. Head of FFI 2016 Committee Lutman Sardi told Voice of Indonesia on Tuesday that diversity brings more power and richness in the event. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You're still tuning in to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta. And listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it's a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you traveling to Central Sulawesi to visit Lake Tambing. So stay tuned. Listener, Lorelindu National Park in Central Sulawesi is currently developing two of a number of leading attractions there. The two attractions, namely Maleo Breeding or Macrocephalon Maleo Entek Lambing, the tourism attraction of captivity Maleo, endemic animal of Sulawesi Island, is located at Saluki Village, Gumbasa Sub-District, Sigi Regency, and Lake Tambing at Sedoa Village, North Lore Sub-District, Poso Regency. Various facilities and infrastructures at the two locations that currently are mostly visited by many foreign tourists continues to be addressed. Improvements are made, began from repairing the entranceway to the location and some supporting facilities at the tourism site, especially electricity, clean water, as well as lodges. Listener, Maleo Breeding and Lake Tambing are now visited by many tourists because of the uniqueness of both tourism attractions. Tambing Lake, for example, the lake becomes a paradise of birds. In the tourism places, there are about 260 species of birds and 30% of which are endemic of Tambing Lake. This means that 30% of the bird species around Pambing Lake only exist around the area. Another uniqueness in the growth of Leda trees, one endemic tree that exists only in central Sulawesi. Listeners, from Palu, the capital of Central Sulawesi province, the Tambing Lake can be accessed about 3 hours crossing the Trans-Palu-Napu. Once reaching the parking lot of Tambing Lake, you are required to report to the guards of Lorelindu National Park. From checkpoints, the lake not seen yet, but after walking a few hundred meters into the forest park, the beautiful lake seen from a distance. You will be greeted by cold air and bird songs. You can enjoy the natural beauty and the chirping of the birds surrounding the lake, which covers less. You can enjoy the natural beauty and the chirping of the birds surrounding the lake, which covers less than 1 hectare. For those who like fishing, you can also take it at the Tambing Lake. You can find tilapia, carp, and eels in the lake. Listeners, for those who want traveling to Tambing Lake, you should come there in the morning. It's time the birds out of their nests. Due to the locations of the lake at the altitude of 1,700 meters above sea level, you should wear a thick jacket because the weather is very cold. Do not forget to bring sufficient supplies. If you want to stay, bring a sleeping bag and folding tents because there is no lodging in the area. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's with the topic Tambing Lake in Central Sulawesi. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. Indonesia is known as the agrarian country because most of Indonesian people are farmers. Agriculture in Indonesia has known several kinds of artificial fertilizer, pesticides, and high-quality seeds since 1969. As a result, Indonesia has undergone increasing productivity until it reached self-sufficient on food in 1986 and received an award from Food and Agriculture Organization FAO from the United Nations. But the continuous usage of synthetic pesticides will harm the ecosystem balance and contaminate the environment until it will have a negative impact on agriculture production. Therefore, in today's edition of Miscellany, we'll inform you about pesticide of natural material from cigarette industry waste. Listener, more recently, it has been realized that the usage of synthetic pesticide is like a dilemma. Under the big benefit to increase agriculture production, in fact, pesticides have hidden harms and horrible dangers for human beings. The negative impacts are causing environment pollution, intoxication, which are fatal to trigger cancer,
disability, and many other diseases. Realizing the danger, a group of students of Indonesian Islamic University in Yogyakarta, Indrasti Dwi Pujilestari Cahyati, Rizky and Marlina from Chemistry Study Program create an environmentally friendly natural pesticide from cigarette waste such as the leaf and tobacco shaft. The innovation has been through an intensive research to gain benefit from the waste in order to help the chili farmers in overcoming the pest. The pests are considered as the huge danger for chili farmers because of its destructive effect. According to Dwi Pujilestari, the leaf and shaft extract contains high nicotine alkaloid. This substance is similar with neurotoxin that can paralyze insects. This environmentally friendly and natural pesticide works by interrupting insects' nerve system. And the residue can travel easily in the nature, so it will not affect the environment. To extract the substance, it takes several processes. First, the tobacco waste is ground and soaked in a methanol solvent. Then the extract is strained to get the raw extract. The extract is then processed again until it results in alkaloid compound that is ready to use as pesticide solvent. Even it proves to be effective to eliminate the chili pest, the students still need further research to know more the combination of the solvent to extract tobacco waste that most effective as the natural pesticide. Besides, the students are still developing way to make natural pesticide to be applied by the chili farmers. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany with the topic Pesticide of Natural Material from Cigarette Industry Waste. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. We'll meet again in the next edition of Miscellany.
Again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to our daily segment of Music Corner. To begin today's Music Corner, let's enjoy a dangdut song sang by Maggie Z entitled Sakit Gigi.
Thank you.
It often happens to most of people, especially those who are not aware of their health. The pain is extremely painful. Maggie Z uses the taste of toothache for comparing to heartache. This is some of the lyric of the song Sakit Gigi. It's better to have a toothache than a heartache. That song lyric expresses how sad it is to be cheated on by the beloved one. In his songs, he often uses the term of daily life to describe love story. There is one famous song of the singer who died on October 21, 2009, entitled Jatuh Bangun. Listener, let's listen to the next song, Jatuh Bangun, from Maggie Z.
Sanggup sikapmu membakar hatiku sehingga cintaku berubah haluan. Percuma saja berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang, percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Berlayar kalau kau takut gelombang, percuma saja bercinta kalau kau takut sengsara. Jatuh bangun aku mengejarmu, namun dirimu tak mau mengerti. Ku bawakan segenggam cinta, namun kau meminta diriku membawakan bulan ke pangkuanmu. Ha.
Ha. Listener, you've just listened to the song Jatuh Bangun Feng by Maggie Z. The term of jatuh bangun is often used to reflect a person's sacrifice in order to reach the purpose. The song Jatuh Bangun was really popular song in Indonesia in 1990. Then some of other singers did the arrangements of song which makes Maggie Z more famous. To end the segment of Music Corner, I will play another from Maggie Z. Although Maggie Z has passed away, until this time, Dangdut listener in Indonesia keep on listening to his songs. I hope you like the songs we have dedicated in this segment. Here is the last song by Maggie Z. Thank you for listening and see you tomorrow.
Kau suguhkan untuk aku yang tenggelam. Kalau hanya untuk mengejar laki-laki lain, buat apa sih benang biru kau sulam menjadi kelam?
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa ku mengadu? Dalam hati bertanya selalu, berlinanglah air mataku. Akan ku cari walau kemana, kini aku berkelana. Ke ujung dunia akan ku cari. Kalau hatiku sedang rindu, pada siapa
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.